Got your Bibles with you. Let's turn to Acts chapter 28. We're going to finish out in Acts chapter 28. It's been a wild ride, right? Last week we wound up and Paul was on Malta, and he was on Malta not because of a decision that he made, but because of the decisions of other people. Have you ever been to Malta? Where you're in a bad place because of decisions of other people? Where you're in a bad place or in a sticky situation, not because of anything you've done wrong, but because of something that's happened to you. Have you ever been to Malta? Let me be a little bit more pointed. 2008, I was on track to be well worth $1 million by the time I was 60 years old, and I could have been retired. But then Enron happened, and I found myself on Malta. Anybody in that situation where your 401k took a nosedive in 2000 and 2008 because of decisions of other people? Anybody here in a divorce because of decisions of other people? Have you ever been to Malta? And we look at the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul, Luke paints him as such a hero of faith. And the Apostle Paul, to get to Malta because of the decisions of other people, once he got to Malta, and this is the thing about the Apostle Paul, he was there because he was doing what God told him to do. And yet that did not put aside all the difficulties that he endured in life doing what God told him to do. Have you ever been to Malta? Do you find yourself in a situation right now where you raise your kids according to your best understanding of the Bible, and you find yourself alone and in Malta because of the decisions of other people? And maybe it's not the circumstances of life, because Paul wasn't alone on Malta. Paul was there with 276 other prisoners. 276 other prisoners, and maybe you're not standing there with prisoners. Maybe right now you're standing there with doctors and therapists and counselors, and you're having struggles right now. I think today's going to be a blessing to you, because when you find yourself on Malta, sometimes the pressure gets a little bit overwhelming, and you want to know why. And I think today we're going to dive into what Apostle Paul was experiencing on the inside as he goes from Malta to Rome, because this is the way that the book of Acts ends. The book of Acts ends, verses 30 and 31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. And that means he rented a house and he stayed in Rome for 2 years and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. The gospel goes out unhindered, because that was the most important thing. Luke doesn't even tell us how Paul died. We do know from the writings of Eusebius and Tacitus, who were church historians around the first century, that the Apostle Paul was eventually beheaded by an emperor by the name of Nero. Here's what we know from history. Is that Nero had a fire started at Circus Maximus because he wanted to rebuild Rome, because he had an interest in the construction companies of Rome. But he wanted to rebuild Rome after his own image and his own desires. So they started a fire in Circus Maximus, which burned down 14 of Rome's villages and neighborhoods. Only 4 villages survived the fire of Rome. Those 4 villages were predominantly populated by Christians. Now, the senators and the representatives of the time decided that they knew what Nero had done, and Nero needed a scapegoat. He tried to bribe them, he tried to pay them off, and eventually he decided he would make Christians a scapegoat. And in July of the year 64, he ordered Christians executed by the most torturous methods devised, dipped in oil and set afire. He'd have animal skins put on him and fed to the lions. And the Apostle Paul, because he was a Roman citizen, was beheaded at that time. This is what the Apostle Paul did, but we don't know that because our ending is not the most important thing. The most important thing is the glory of God. So what I'm interested in is that Paul, and he writes about this in 2 Timothy, he starts talking about, my end is very near. I've run my course. I've fought my fight. I have kept up the faith, and for me is laid up a crown of righteousness. The Apostle Paul, days before his death, said, I'm okay going home. What I'd like to know is the Apostle Paul's mentality as he goes through the book of Acts, as he comes to his final days. And where we're going to turn right now is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think it'll be a blessing to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this works whether you're on Malta or whether you're in Rome in a rented house, whether you're getting stoned or whether you're getting chased. It works. It tells you how to deal with the pressure. You know, as a minister, and thank you, Sister CB, she sent me a message congratulating me on my 26 years in the ministry, being ordained this weekend, 26 years ago. And over those 26 years, you know, I'd ask a lot of people about some advice for the ministry. And one of the key advice is, hey, ministry is about pressure management. And well, what do you mean pressure management? Well, there's pressures on all sides. You got to handle it. And you get different mechanisms of dealing with pressure. But the best one I heard is play. And I'm like, what? Because I thought the dude said pray, you know, because I'm so Christian, you know. You know, we pray about everything, right? Pray it all get better. Well, not so. This guy said play. What do you mean by that? Well, when you go home, play with your kids. And if you don't feel like it, play with your kids. And it'll keep you from wanting to shoot your deacons. It'll keep you from this. It'll keep you from that. And sure enough, it's true. A little bit of playtime, and it helps you deal with the pressure management. Well, the Apostle Paul, what I'm interested in is not what he did. Because when I look at Paul and I look at what we just went through in Malta, the Apostle Paul went through a shipwreck. The Apostle Paul got a snake bite. I'm not so concerned about what Paul did, because on the outside looking in, the Apostle Paul is a super Christian. What I'm concerned about, what I want to know about, is how the Apostle Paul felt. And the Apostle Paul opens up a window into his soul and what's going on in it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. And he says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Let me pause there real quick. "For we preach Christ Jesus, and not ourselves, because we're a bunch of servants for you." Why do we preach Christ? We preach Christ because you are not smart enough, you are not good enough, you are not able enough, but He is. That's why we preach Christ. Because what our Bible says is that there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. The ability to even do good is not inside you until God places it there. So the Apostle Paul, as he's going through the snake bites, as he's going through the shipwrecks, as he's going through the stonings, as he's going through the false accusation, the Apostle Paul realizes that his power is Christ Jesus and not himself. Because if you're relying on yourself, you're going to crash and burn. So the Apostle Paul says, "We preach Christ Jesus. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded," and then he's going all the way back to Genesis, "for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's put a big pause on this one right here. Without God's acting first, you were in darkness, you were spiritually dead, you didn't know Christ. But God, who commanded the light to shine in the darkness, God who commanded the light to shine in your darkness, God who takes nothing and creates something, has done something special inside of you. Do you understand who you are now? You are something special to God. And the Apostle Paul says, we're not preaching Christ. We're preaching the God who creates something out of nothing. We're preaching God who brings light out of darkness, including the darkness of your life, including the darkness of your situation. That's the God that we're preaching. And he says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Let's pause and dive into that, because we preach this power in earthen vessels. Another translation puts that appropriately, in clay pots. And what I find most of the time is that when I'm feeling most pressure in my life is because I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself. But the Apostle Paul says, get your focus off yourself, John. Get your focus off yourself, Christian. It's not about you. It's never been about you. And I think that's why the Apostle Luke doesn't even tell us how Paul died, because this book is not about Paul. It's about the kingdom of God and Christ being preached. So how did Paul do what he did? Well, the Apostle Paul felt the pressure. This is what the Apostle Paul says. "We are troubled on every side," verse 8, "and yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed." We are troubled on every side. Now, I can handle the trouble and I can handle the pressure when it comes at me sequentially, right? I'm pretty good with this clay pot. Okay, I can bend down, I can get my shoulder against the wind, and I can push back. But the Apostle Paul is not saying, and we're troubled because the bill has come due. We're troubled because the medical report has come due. We're troubled because our friends have abandoned us. We're troubled because the Facebook postings are criticizing us. He's not saying it's coming sequentially. He's saying we are troubled on every side. He is saying that we are troubled because the bill has come due, and the medical bills have come due, and our friends have abandoned us, and we're getting publicly criticized all at the same time. So how did Paul survive Malta? How did he survive a shipwreck? How did he survive the snake bite? Because remember the snake bite, the people are like, oh, he must be demon-possessed. He must be a servant. Then he survives, and they're like, oh, he's a god. It's neither one. That's why you don't trust in the opinion of people. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, yet not in despair. We are persecuted, yet not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Don't you admire people that can handle pressure like that? Don't you hate people that can handle pressure like that? Just people where nothing bothers them, people who just shake stuff off. And Luke is telling us, man, it was amazing. I was there. Paul just shook this snake off into a fire, and it was amazing. Everybody thought he was going to die, but he didn't die. He makes it look so easy. And this is the pressure that Paul is talking about. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're undergoing some pressures. And, you know, here's the thing about pressure, because you got these pithy little sayings out there. Pressure makes diamonds. Pressure also makes dumb decisions. Pressure also makes divorce. Pressure also makes you own a timeshare. That's... There's some things you do under pressure, and here's the thing as we read through this, is that I don't think God wants to prevent pressure in our lives. And maybe today you've come to a point, and Paul describes it. He says in verse 10, this is what he says in verse 10, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He's saying, look, we're carrying around in our body the death of Christ. It kind of means like I feel like I'm dying inside. That's the kind of pressure that snake shaker Paul, that shipwreck surviving Paul faced. He says earlier in his ministry, there was so much pressure, I thought I was dying. I was hard pressed on every side, but I wasn't crushed. And I hear people shout that verse sometimes. I'm pressed but not crushed. I'm cast down but not destroyed. Here's the flip side of that. The pressure can crush you. I'm cast down but not destroyed, but there is a cast downing that can destroy you if you're putting your trust and confidence in the wrong thing. If you're putting your trust and confidence in your clay pot and your earthen vessel. And that's what the Apostle Paul is getting to right now. So before you're shouting, you know, I'm cast down but not destroyed, realize that if you don't know what to do with the pressure, it will destroy you. I'm pressed about. I'm crushed. That's mental pressure. I'm not in despair. That's pressure from other people. I'm cast down but not destroyed. And so what I see here is a contrast, and it's a contrast of what's pushing on Paul and what's pushing in Paul back. Let's go to verse 16, 17, and 18. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So there's an internal pressure that's pushing back. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is pressure management. I remember when the kids were young, I told you I liked to play. When the kids were young, we had this little game. We didn't play it for too long, but there was a little game where we would do Indian rubs and pressure on the arm. And I remember distinctly when Joshua was younger, before, you know, I'd grab his arm and, oh, how much pressure are you going to bring? Wouldn't it be nice if we could say, Lord, how much pressure is this situation going to bring in my life? And the Apostle Paul says, it doesn't matter because we have an internal pressure. We are troubled on every side. And I want you to read that verse again because sometimes I think it describes me, it describes you. But there are levels to pressure. And one thing I've learned in 59 years is that pressure is relative. So like when a 16-year-old is heartbroken, they don't have the wisdom of experience to know that they're going to survive it and others will come along. And a lot of times we can minimize other people's misery because we've graduated beyond that. But if you could find the compassion in your heart to remember that there was a time when you listened to Milli Vanilli 17 times, I blame it on the rain. There was a time when the pressure felt so great for Paul. He said, we are troubled on every side. And that means all areas at once. And sometimes it seems like in life that is coming at us from every side. I really wrestled with the title of today's message. And part of me wants to say Acts 29. Because the book of Acts, and here, ends at Acts 28, but the story continues, and it's you. And the same pressures, maybe not the exact same, but the same pressure that was on Paul and the believers in Acts 1 through 28 are on you in Acts 29. And so what I'd like to do for the rest of the message is just kind of talk about these pressures and how we as an Acts 29 church can continue this amazing story that we've been given in the first 28 chapters of the book of Acts. Because Luke is giving us a picture that makes Paul look like a real portrait of faith. Luke talks about how during the ship storm, Paul got up and gave a great motivational speech, giving the other prisoners courage and faith in God no matter the circumstances, that Paul prayed and had a vision, and then he relayed the vision to inspire them. Because sometimes somebody is waiting on you to encourage them. And so Paul did that. Then in Acts 28, Paul is helping with the bonfire, gets bitten by the snake. And don't you remember how cool and calm Paul was when he was bitten? I mean, the snake didn't even seem to bother him. He didn't rebuke the snake. He didn't plead the blood of Jesus over the snake. He just shook the snake off. And when people thought Paul was going to die, he didn't die. And then he went to Publius's house and he started healing everybody and it was amazing. And then he went to Rome and he rented a house for 2 years and he preached the gospel, a real man of faith. But this is what Paul says, wait a minute. On the outside, maybe it all looked good, but all you see is what I did. What you didn't see is the doubts I had while I was doing it. And sometimes some of y'all can make it look so easy. You just pay the bills. You just smile. You just walk strong and tall and proud. But on the inside, there's pressure. And Paul says, I cannot find relief on the right or on the left. In the middle, I looked up. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find a helper. And Paul is describing right here in 2 Corinthians an inescapable pressure where you're looking for a way out, but you're unable to find it. Looking for comfort, but there is none. Looking for relief, but you don't find any. Looking for peace, but it just seems to escape you. Paul is not describing that you have a few more bills to pay or you haven't had your coffee or your car's in the shop. He's saying you got bills to pay and you haven't had coffee and your car's in the shop and your kid is smoking meth. Pressured, not crushed. Cast down, not destroyed. We're troubled on every side, but not distressed. So it's kind of important as an Acts 29 church, how do we process the pressure? And we have to learn to deal with the pressure. And I think there's a lot of pressure. It says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you know, there was so much pressure, I thought I was dying. And he says, I was hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are troubled, yet not distressed. And in the contrast between what's pushing on Paul and pushing in Paul, he says this in verse 7, because so many times in my life, the reason I'm under pressure is because I'm so full of pride. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. It is an ordinary vessel. I have an ordinary body, but what is inside me and what is inside every child of God is an extraordinary power. And that's what the Apostle Paul is preaching on right now. So I'm under pressure sometimes because I'm full of pride. And sometimes, not all the time, the pressure comes into my life, not because of what I'm handling, but because of how I'm handling it. Because I have forgotten, follow me, the source of my strength. Sometimes I focus on my earthen vessels, and sometimes I'm under pressure to perform to a particular standard that I have projected that isn't even true to my purpose. And let's just kind of talk about real quick the pressure gap here, because there is a gap between who and what I think I need to be and who I really am. We, brothers and sisters, are earthen vessels, clay pots. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And when you think you need to be something that you secretly believe you're not, the pressure is crushing. You secretly believe you need to have an ability, or you need to have this strength, and we don't. The Apostle Paul says, and I see it here in 2 Corinthians, he's defending himself against the Judaizers because they were questioning his credentials for the ministry, and they're pointing their fingers at him saying, who do you think you are preaching that circumcision is of no avail? And this creation in Christ thing, and watch what Paul does, the thing. Here's what Satan does. Here's what the crowd was doing. Here's what the Apostle Paul faced for 20-some-odd chapters in the book of Acts. Voices telling you, you're smaller than you are, you're not enough, you're never going to, you just weren't. And Paul says, I have this treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God. That's how you turn pressure into power. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. So we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. And maybe he had in mind the Garden of Eden, where Jesus went to the garden the night before the crucifixion and he started to pray. And it says that he started to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. The pressure was so great that the capillaries apparently started rupturing. That's how hard the pressure was. And then Jesus said some of the most powerful words ever made in Scripture. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. And if the Son of God can say, okay, the source of my strength is not me, it's you, whatever you want, whatever your will is, Father, that's the perfect example for us to know that our source of strength is not us. It's not these clay pots. It's not my mind. It's not my brilliance. And it's not my popularity. The source of my strength as a Christian is God Almighty. And so when Jesus says, it's not my will, but thy will, Lord, Gethsemane, and by the way, that was in the Garden of Gethsemane, which means olive press, right? And the world's greatest power came from the Savior's greatest pressure. And so I have an announcement today that the Apostle Paul says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, Satan came to God and he said, hey, God, I want to put some pressure on Job. And the Lord said, you can do everything except you can't take his life. And so Satan started taking all that was with Job. And the intent of the pressure really is for us to realize with clarity that we are not meant to bear that pressure, to show where the power came from. Pressure shows power in the provision that you have access to. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though we have though our outward man, our clay pot is perishing, it says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment. This thing that you're going through, this situation that you're facing, this relationship problems that have bubbled up, it's just for a moment. But it's working for us more exceeding an external weight of glory. And while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. So what comes out of you in the form of an external pressure what comes at you in the form of external pressure is not greater than what's inside of you. And Paul calls this pressure, this crushing him, he says it's light. Because here's what pressure does. It proves whether or not you believe the promises of God. So let me read the scripture. Paul has reached this point where he says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So I can only be proven proven after the pressure is supplied, and it shows me that it's not about me. Verse 13, there hath no temptation. This is Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, for God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but with a temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So what does this tell us? And what did we see in 28 chapters of Acts with the Apostle Paul and with the other apostles and the preaching of Peter? God will put pressure on you. More pressure than you can bear for the purpose that you can see where your power comes from. And if you're not under pressure, you're not going to have the power that you are. For which cause, verse 16, we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man, that spiritual man, that part of you that's connected to God, is renewed day by day. He says, therefore, verse 16, he says, because we know that pressure produces power. We know what's coming at me is not greater than what's in me. We know that we're being renewed day by day because every day, pressure, troubles, trials, teenagers, bills. and he says, look, we can learn from under pressure, because Apostle Paul says, look, I've learned of what I've been through. I've learned because of what God has done for me. I have learned that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and external weight of glory. So the pressure that I'm experiencing right now is pointing me to a glory that's going to be so much greater. Here's the thing. Satan will point to your shame. He'll point to your weakness. He'll point to your failures and your mistakes. But Paul is saying, I am pointing to your glory. In the 1930s, the military learned how to pressurize planes so that planes can go up to like 30,000 feet. Because you're at 30,000 feet without a pressurized cabin, you're going to suffer hypoxia, you're going to faint, and you're going to crash and burn. But the military decided that they could pressurize the inside of the plane so that we can exist in an environment that we are not naturally meant to be in. Brothers and sisters, we are strangers in a strange land down here. This world is not our home. We are in an environment that we are not supposed to be in. And so the pressurized system that's inside of you is a spiritual system. That's why we need to go to church. That's why we need to be participating in Bible studies. That's why we need to study our Bible and set time aside for God so that we can have that pressure inside of us, that inward man fed, to push out against the outward pressures that are coming towards us. Because sometimes I can get so burdened by this world that I carry a cross that I am not meant to carry. We are cast down, but not destroyed. We are burdened on every side, but we're not going to give up. And that is how the Apostle Paul was able to make it to Rome. And it said, I made it to Rome, and he preached for 2 years unhindered. Let the gospel have free reign in your life, because what it does is it points us to Jesus Christ. Because the good news of the gospel is not that Jesus gave you an opportunity. The good news of the gospel is the finished work of Jesus Christ, where he looked on a bunch of clay pots. And he says, you know, I love these clay pots. And then if somebody comes and they criticize you, you did this. Well, I'm a clay pot. that's a mark on my clay pot. But what's beautiful about me is not this. What's beautiful about me is what's on the inside. And then you pick yourself up. Because you know, there is kind of a gap, and we spoke about this. There's this gap between the me that I am right now and the me that God has called me to be. And if I get further away from that, I feel some internal tension. I feel some pressure. If I get closer to it, the pressure is a little bit relieved. Because this person right here, the me that God has called me to be, this is the me that I can be. You know, the Lord told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. That's a little bit overwhelming for me. because God not only knew me that he's called me to be, but God knows me who's here,
and here, and he still loves me. And he's still calling me to be this person right here. And this is the one that is really showing the glory of God when I can turn the other cheek, when I can pray for my enemies, when I can do good to people who harm me. This John, God loves this John, but he's called me to be this John right here. And God knew me before he formed me in the belly and before the first wave hit the shore, before the first sunbeam warmed the earth. God knew this John, and he loved him still. But he wants me to be this John. And so what the Apostle Paul is telling us is, hey, all this pressure, some of this pressure is trying to push you out this way, but God's calling you to be here. And you can get here. Just focus on him and his glory and his weight. So no matter what's troubling you right now, no matter what pressure you're feeling right now, if you will kind of internalize and equalize that pressure, let what's inside of you, not your feelings, but what the Spirit of God inside of you, feed it. Feed it with the Word of God. Work with it. Fix your focus, and then you can stabilize, and like the Apostle Paul, there's nothing that comes against you that can knock you down.